Ready for Hebrews.
Let him who is athirst come.
Yes.
We're thirsty, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're thirsty to dig into your word.
Amen.
We love you.
Hallelujah.
We worship and praise
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory
preach.
To God. You can. You're doing a fine. You're doing a good one.
Here.
That's it. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. Father, we just bless you and thank you that when we come together, you're faithful to come in where two or three are gathered in your midst, in your name. Here are you, right here in the midst of us. So we thank you, Lord, that you make revelation to us of your word. Your desire is to reveal yourself to your children and to show us what great and mighty things that you have performed and things that you have given to us as gifts. We just honor you tonight, Lord God. We praise you. Thank you that you'll teach us out of your word by your Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells in us and reigns in us. And we just magnify you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You're glorious.
Ooh, amen.
Glorious, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we looked in here last time, looked a lot at the priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is a priest. Later on, we'll find even more about him. But here he's talking about he was the priest we went back to see in Genesis, that this guy was the priest that came and Abraham gave tithes to this priest of God. And God has called Jesus a priest after the same type, the same order, a priest who has no beginning and no end, a priesthood that's not like the priesthood of Aaron or the priesthood of the tribe of Levi. This priesthood is a priesthood who came out of God and is an eternal existent priesthood. It's not one based on the law, but it's one based on God's intervening himself. Do you know how God intervened himself? By sending Jesus. He created a lamb all on his own. He became his own lamb. Amen?
Amen.
He became his own lamb. And he says a verse back there in chapter 5, verse 11. We were in chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Remember we talked about that coming off the end of the last chapter. For when the time is, verse 12, chapter 5, you're dull of hearing. The time came. The time has come when you should have been teachers by now. Now, remember who he's talking to. He's talking to Paul. We believe Paul wrote this epistle and that he was writing to the Hebrews, teaching the Hebrews how to exit the old beliefs, the old and come into the new covenant. He's exiting the old sacrificial system, in that Jesus is the end of that sacrificial system, and he's come into the new covenant under better promises, with better promises, a better covenant, better promises, which is Jesus Christ has paid the ultimate and final price, the final lamb, the only Lamb of God, and it's all done. The old priesthood system is gone. It's over. There's no necessity for it at all anymore. It is finished. You remember when in the gospel where the veil in the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. What did that mean? God said, I'm taking away the veil, the part that separated the man from God, man from the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is now open to everybody because of the finished work of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
It's done. He's the high priest. He's entered in for us and the whole thing, and there's never a time he's going to have to enter in again. The priest doesn't have to enter in and shed blood on anything, sprinkle blood on anything anymore, because he's done. The last sacrifice has been made. Amen? Isn't that powerful? The last sacrifice. It's over. It's over. Sin has been totally paid forevermore. Now, from now till eternity, sin has been paid for. All we do is come in and receive and believe. Amen?
Amen.
We come boldly into the throne.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you.
Thank you, Jesus. We come in boldly into the throne of grace to receive grace, mercy, and grace to help in time of need. Which is when? Every time we see a sin. Every time we see a sin, we run right into the Holy of Holies. We don't run to a priest. We run into the Holy of Holies. We run right into the presence of God. Amen? For when in the time you ought to be teachers, you should have known these things by now, but now you're backing up. You're going back into the old ways. See, the problem is here, he's talking to the Hebrews about having dropping back into the old ways. And you know, that's what we do. Even as Gentiles, we've been taught how to have religion. We've been taught how to be religious. We're taught how to try to pay for our own sins rather than to receive the sacrifice fully paid. Amen? For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. You just became a little baby. You're just backing up. You just don't even know, you know, you don't even know how to do anything. You don't know how to walk in faith. You don't know how to walk with your sins forgiven. You're so busy trying to get your sins, make yourself look good for God. This is not what God's after. It's not what He's into. For everyone that uses, He says here again, the end of verse 12, and you're become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. See, God wants to teach us the things of the kingdom of God. You know, we just barely came. You know when a little kid is a little kid? He just barely knows how to know anything. And that's how we are. We're like five, even if we're mature, we're like 5 years old. God's desire is that we grow up and learn how to eat meat and learn how to know the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is an existence in which we will always be learning. We will know God even as we are known, but I believe we'll continually be experiencing new things that God wants to show us. Amen? He wants to just give us a demonstration of His kingdom. He just wants to show us the greatness of His majesty throughout all the ages. Throughout all the ages, we're going to be learning and knowing and doing and traveling and, you know, throughout all eternity. Because God's been around for eternity. He's done a lot of things. He's been a lot of places. And you know what His desire is? Not for us to just come in and sit around on a cloud and go, oh, well, you know, like an old person, you come to visit and they can't do anything. You know? You know when you go in, you visit your old grandpa, you know, or you're coming to see grandpa, but he can't do anything anymore. You know? Or like a little kid, you know, grandpa, sometimes grandpa can go fishing or something, but that's about all. You know, he just doesn't have much get up and go. God's got plenty of get up and go. And you know what? He's been doing things for so many millennia. He's been doing things from eternity past. And you know, we're going to come in and he's going to show us things that we do not know. We're going to live eternally seeing the things that God has done eternally. We'll be learning, knowing, following, watching for the age of eternity. Hallelujah. Hey, amen.
Praise God.
Hebrews chapter 6. Hey, two men of God. Look at there. Three men of God. Three men of God and a woman of God. Hebrews 6. Hebrews coming off of Hebrews 5, coming into Hebrews 6. coming off of here saying that in the ages to come, say God's desire is that we live on strong meat. But here we've been just back like babies in milk. We just don't even know anything. You know, we've been backed up. And see, even the Hebrews had were continually being run back by deceivers into living under the festivals and living under the sacrifices. And he's saying, by now you should have been teachers. There, I'm coming off of we're coming into chapter 6, coming off of 5, verse 12 there. So you ought to be teachers, but you have need that one that needs to teach you again that which be the first principles of the oracles of God or the Word of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Wow. Unskillful. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Righteousness is just barely on the inside, just barely coming in. Just milk is just barely coming in. Having the doctrine of righteousness by faith is just, you're just barely coming in. Just barely getting in. I mean, you know, you think you got something that's big. You don't have hardly anything. You just barely getting in. See, babies have milk just to get them going, just to keep them alive. Yeah, I'm just barely being kept alive. I don't know anything about living in heaven. I'm just barely being kept alive. Just in this world. Just in this world. We're just barely being kept alive. God's desire is that, again, we're going to grow eternally in His presence. Not only now, but certainly after we dwell fully in His presence once Jesus returns. But even now, He wants us to learn how to eat meat, but even that eating of meat is going to be little. It's going to be young kids, young mature. You know, the maturity that we're going to have here would be like a maturity of a 5 or a 7-year-old. At least you got teeth and you eat. At least you can eat some meat. But I tell you, we're going to be knowing and learning for all eternity and what God has done and what He's created and what He's brought to pass. So we got to know that, well, you know, let's just know God for this life. Let's just know God for, and who knows what's later. I'm telling you, eternity is later. Eternity is after this life. This life is just barely, we're just barely getting started. 70 years is nothing. 70 years, even in this 6,000 years that we've been here, is nothing. I mean, you know, somebody lives, somebody dies, and they're gone. How much do you think about them? And this has been such a short period of time. I mean, say if you're living 70, 80, 90 years, it's nothing. Even to us, that's nothing. I mean, you know, Ben Franklin, we forgot that guy. You know, we got a book about him, but, you know, he's dead. He's long dead. You know, you got people back, Martin Luther, well, he's a good guy, good preacher. But he lived 500 years ago. We forgot all about him. We forget all. How many thousands and millions have lived and died, and we just forgot about them? And we just forgot about everybody. I mean, you know, you just don't know, you know, who has lived and died. And, you know, who can know them? Who can know me? You know, wow, what am I? But I am now going to be living for eternity. From now till forever. I mean, Martin Luther, I'll see that guy. I believe he's a Christian. He's going to be living. You know, many of the saints of the church, having come up, the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and then on up through this these last two millennium. But the fact is that what I'm saying to you is that all of the things that have been happening, all of the things that we have learned and experienced in this short life that we live is nothing to be compared with the period of time or non-time that we will exist in the presence of God forever and forever and forever. Amen. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, Learning how to eat meat also enhances your ability to discern both good and evil. Babies don't have that. See, you got to be grow up. You got to grow up. You got to be have wisdom, and that comes from the Word of God, and that comes from hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and living in His presence. Now look at chapter 6 here.
Hey, David?
Yes.
Go back to your own vomit.
What is that?
You don't know
who you are.
What?
Go ahead. Okay, well, I mean, you go back to your own vomit, and then you see it. You repent.
Mm-hmm.
And you call out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where are you at?
Now, what's your question?
Well, just that.
You're growing, you still got a flesh.
Yeah.
Your flesh doesn't mean just because you have matured to a point of strong meat doesn't mean you're still not going to be seeing revelation of parts of your flesh and parts of your unbelief
right.
that you have trusted in as a human person. You have trusted in unbelief. You've trusted in certain things here and there. You've trusted in things because you didn't believe that God loved you. You didn't believe that God loved you in that particular area. I mean, the enemy is always, yeah, exactly. The enemy is always bringing up areas where, hey, well, I think you should be disappointed about this or that. And so you go find your own way. You go figure your own way to satisfy yourself. You want to satisfy yourself doing this and that, you know. Because you're dissatisfied. But I tell you, you learn through the Word of God that any type of dissatisfaction that comes up is a lie from the hell. It's a lie from the enemy. And if I'm dissatisfied, that's unbelief. And I say, no, in the name of Jesus, I am not dissatisfied. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am not cheated. I have everything that I have need of, and anything that comes up in my face to tell me that I don't is a lie, because my God said He should supply all of my needs. You see, so this is so we going back to that vomit. Well, it doesn't make any difference. We just say, Father, thank you that you forgive me for that. Yeah, thank you, Lord God, that you just have delivered me. And see, that is even as you're coming to strong meat, you're getting off milk in various portions and areas of your life, of your daily thought life and existence. And the enemy's always going to be trying to come at you with some new little area that you're going to appear vulnerable. But we learn to see. We learn to discern both what? Good and evil here. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use. See, you use it. You're using the Word of God. Remember the Word of God we talked about in chapter 4? He said, for the Word of God is alive and powerful, and it exposes me, and it causes me to run to the throne for grace to help in time of need. Because I know where my help comes from. Amen? So here, I am learning to trust. That is, I'm learning to get off milk and get on to meat, but it's a process. It's a process. I'm learning not to be a baby and just, God, do you still love me? You know. But I'm learning to hear His voice. And I'm learning to follow after Him. And yet I continually will run into briar patches of things that, you know, I have not heard the truth on. Things that are lies that have come up. And I will have to repent and hear Him and say, Father, I thank You that You're maturing me and growing me. Does that make sense? All right. Therefore, verse 1 here of chapter 6 now. Therefore, leaving the principles, that is the basics, the baby stuff of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to maturity. That word perfection is maturity, completeness, being mature. That is, one who would be of strong meat, full, somebody of full age. Let us go on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So not constantly laying, coming back. Okay, let's teach you this again. Same thing, verse 12. For when you should have been a teacher of the basics to somebody else, you yourself are still not quite sure. You yourself are still not quite, you know, Father, do you still love me? See, He wants you to know and to get up daily confident that you are forgiven. Confident that when you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. You're not always dealing with guilt. You're not always, oh, being shaken and battered left and right, to and fro by the winds of the day. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're not being beat up by the winds of the day. Oh, God, do you still love me? I mean, you know, or the little baby. Well, Daddy, where are you? Where are you? Hey, I'm right here. I always have been. Always are. I'm right here. You know, I'm just showing you your sin. You're becoming a disciple. Disciples see their sin and repent of their sin. The Father shows them their sin. You know what? Sometimes it's not nice. Well, it's not very nice. You know, you tell your child something, you know, well, it's not very nice. Well, no. They have to have an understanding that you are discipling them. And God is discipling you. Amen? It's confidence that He loves you.
It's a miracle.
Absolutely.
It's a miracle.
But also just walking in it. Walking in it is that confidence that He loves you at all times and in all places. And that there is nothing, nothing, nothing that you are doing, have done, will do, that He will, that will cause Him to forsake you, that is in your flesh. Amen? Nothing in your flesh is going to cause you to be out of the will of God, because He has called you and given you that open door to come in and receive that forgiveness. The forgiveness is supplied. It's completely contained. What if I sin the big sin? And whatever some big sin is in your head. You know, you got some trip-up mechanism that the devil gave you that says, well, if you do this one and you do it twice with a bell on your toe, then that's it. And God's written you off, you know. If you get 3 tickets in a row, you're done for. You're toast. God didn't say that. He said, you've been paid. It's been paid. Believe. He said, just believe. So therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, which is what? Forgiveness. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and on the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Excuse me. I am. I should talk. Hey, Dan. We're teaching the Bible study. You need to be here. Okay. We'll talk to you later. All right. Lord bless you. I always need to leave my phone on just in case somebody calls.
Hey, don't worry.
You don't have to make excuses.
The doctrine of Christ is forgiveness?
Yeah, absolutely. Forgiveness, all these things. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. All of these things are the principles, the fundamentals of the doctrines of Christ. The principles of the doctrines of Christ. In other words, these are the foundations. These are the basics. You know, here you are, and we've forgotten the basics. And this we will do if God permit. If we got time.
If we got time.
If we got time.
In our 70 years of...
That's right. Well, that's what he's talking about. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified of themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. See, let's learn these doctrines of Christ over the doctrines of the sacrifices that have passed away. If you put hope in the sacrifices that have passed away, if you have come to Christ, here, remember who we're talking to. Who are we talking to here? Who is he preaching to? But individually, he's Christian Jews. Now, where did they come from? What doctrine did they come from? They came from the doctrine of sacrifices and you know, priesthood. It says, and here it is, those who have been enlightened, those who have been brought to the truth of Jesus Christ, and it once they have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, they've come in, they've become Christian, have tasted the good word of God, powers of the world to come, laying hands on the sick, if they shall fall away, if they shall fall away, fall back. To renew them again to repentance. It's impossible to renew them to repentance. If they go back to the life of works, to the life of sacrifices. I mean, there's only one sacrifice, isn't there? His name is Jesus. You can't use lambs.
So that wasn't talking about the sins you commit?
No. Not talking about the sins you commit. We already dealt with that. Those sins have already been dealt with. If they shall fall away, what's the work of God? What's the work? This is the work to believe on Him whom He has sent. You can't go back to sacrifice. You can't trust in sacrifices. You can't trust in that. That was an imperfect system. And it was only to lead us to Christ. Amen? It's only to lead us to Christ. Seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. In other words, you're going to go back and crucify Jesus again.
You have to do it all over to show you.
You don't need sacrifices after sacrifices. You got one. It's the finished work.
It's covered everything.
Covers everything from now till eternity.
What's perfection then?
Maturity.
What?
Maturity. Perfection. What's perfection? You're talking about that.
The meat?
That's it. Is maturity, having that meat that you're having, beginning to learn the finished work of God. That you begin to grow in the grace of God. No longer being under guilt for sin, but in fact, coming into the presence of God and receiving that forgiveness on a regular and daily basis.
Yeah, when I was a child, I thought as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Those are childish things to have to worry about guilt and all that.
Child. Exactly.
But
very good.
You happen to say that at the end of that, very end of that. It's a faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I mean, His love is so good. It's so unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
It's so
Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen.
I mean, I feel so covered in His love.
Mm-hmm. That's it. It's because the love of God and the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. That is, you have the love. You are a vessel of the love of God.
Amen.
To this world. Amen.
In this body, we don't hold to believe that once we are saved, we're always saved.
No. That would relate to in the fact that you would trust in anything. your own strength, that you would, or that you would see, the fact is here, we're talking about the Hebrews, how they're believing in something else. They're believing in something other than Christ to set them free.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sin will do that. But here, I believe in this context, that this particular section of Scripture is talking to the Hebrews. He's talking specifically to the Hebrews about coming back to sacrifices. Now, we have other Scripture which is similar, which talks about the fact that is believe constantly staying in belief and staying in. So it's not a matter of sin, but it's a matter of believing. And even at that, you can't do that. The faith and the repentance are a combination of God's work in you and you trusting that it's not you that's going to complete it. It's God that's completing it. See, what happens is people fall back into the thought that they're going to complete something.
They can do it.
Is that they're going to do? You're going to do something, right?
Right.
Isn't that true?
That's the number one, thing of our flesh.
It's about me.
That we can do it.
It's about me. It's about me. Okay, now that I'm in, Jesus is going to give me the pedals. Okay. Now, I got the pedals now. Okay, come on, keep it going, baby. No, you're not going to keep anything going. It's just, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Falling away is believing in your own works. Falling away is believing in your own works. Believing in something that you can do or didn't do.
Exactly, or getting depressed because you couldn't do it.
And then you give up because you've been taught that it's all about you and you can't do it. So you just give up and just live in wickedness. You just live reprobate. But you live reprobate because you're not walking in faith. You're not walking in thanksgiving.
Walking in love.
Ooh, walking in thanksgiving, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Walking in thanksgiving.
I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, thankful for what he's already done, thankful for who we are.
That scripture that really was powerful for me was, he who has been forgiven much, loveth much.
You know, I was thinking about that same one.
Jack, does that answer you?
Well, I agree with that. I don't see that. I see things here that are, they seem to point to.
I'm talking about here. I believe he's talking to people, to Hebrews who have been. It's as if the Judaizers have come in again here and saying, okay, no, you need to get back to this. And these are people who have actually lived in the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet they're being talked into going back. Okay. Verse 7. For the earth, which drinks in the rain that comes often upon it, and brings forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed. In other words, the earth brings forth you're a husbandman, you're a gardener, and you bring forth, the earth brings forth herbs for you to eat, to use, receives blessing from God. But that which bears thorns and briars is rejected. That is something that is bringing forth non-profitable fruit. Thorns and briars, we don't want that. If it's bringing forth fruit that is beneficial and a blessing, then that is what is kept. That's what is harvested. That's what's brought in. But that which bears thorns and briars and thistles and rocks and stuff like that is rejected.
Can you apply that to the word of God sown among the thorns?
Well, more than that, he's talking more specifically, is the tree that bears fruit. It's that's cultivated and pruned. But that which doesn't bring forth fruit is cut off and thrown in the bound up and thrown into the fire and burned. So that's more the direct correlation to what we're talking about, what he's talking about here. But beloved, we are now, watch this now. He's kind of pulling this, tying this up to a close. But he says, but brethren, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. What he's saying is, don't believe a lie. Don't believe that it's about you performing. We are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Even though I'm talking this way, we're persuaded better things of you. We know that you have believed the truth. So he's back to encouraging them now. He's saying, don't go that way, but come this way. And you have. You have. You've been believing. You've been walking in joy and in thanksgiving and in faith toward God. You just have stumbled. He says, you just stumbled. You've stumbled into listening to these other doctrines. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. There has been fruit in your existence, in your life in Christ. There's been fruit that's been born by your thanksgiving, by your faithfulness to just believe God, to believe what He's finished, His finished work, and then those works have come forth. Fruit has come forth from your believing. Amen? Fruits come forth. So in other words, just because you've gotten into this other thing, you've kind of hit in a hitch. Here, let me say, don't go there. Now, but come back and follow those things which you have heard at the first, those basic doctrines. And go beyond them. That is, not go beyond the Word of God, but go beyond them. That is, don't just live for the barely getting there. God forgave me, and just boy, I hope He forgives me again. More than that is that you're walking in constant knowledge of His love and His forgiveness and His finished work, and certainly not working toward, you know, sacrificing or putting aside all of the things that He has produced in you and given to you, and all the benefit and the blessing that you've received, that is, you've been enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasted the good Word of God, the powers of the world to come, and then all of a sudden you're back in the tank with, you know, doing works of the flesh. He says, no, in fact, you have been growing. You've been seeing the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifest in your life. God's not unrighteous to forget your work. In other words, just because you hit a bump in the road, not unrighteous to forget. It's just, all right, all of that, forget everything. You guys have, you know, just ruined it all. God's not into that. God's not into whipping you and beating you to death because you failed. Okay? Isn't that good news? Mm-hmm. Just because you fell down,
very good news.
And then you went back and tried, well, golly, you know, I failed, and then you went back and tried to do it the old way. Then you went back and tried to pay for it in the old way. Does that make sense? Because you'll go back and try to, when you see that you have messed up, it's just almost too good to believe that God has forgiven you. So you go back to the old way. So you go back to the old sacrifices. You go back to the old way that you knew how to make God happy, to kind of get him off your case. No. Turn around. Immediately get free. Thank you, Jesus. Come boldly. That's what he said at the end of chapter 4. Come boldly into the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Amen? Because you do have a high priest. Talk all about chapter 5. After the order of Melchizedek. So don't give up the basic doctrines of Christ Jesus to go back to the old way. Because there's no hope there. There's no hope there. There's no hope there. So God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing.
So there's no hope in the old law way for the Hebrews, but there's no hope in our old way.
Nope.
Too, right?
That's right. Exactly.
The old man.
That's right. Yeah, there's no hope in your old man either. But again, they had an old way. You didn't. You were just wicked. You're just heathen, you know. You didn't really have an old way. You might have if you were a religious Christian, you know. You're lighting candles and all that kind of stuff. You know, you might have had an old way, an old religious way. And many of the people here in this day, but of course, you know, they were coming into a whole new concept of God. Many of them were just coming out of multiple gods, you know. And of course, even those multiple gods, they had to, you know, sacrifice people and, you know, all kinds of things. Make sense? Okay. Well, sure. Not the Jews.
The Jews did too.
No, didn't. No. God didn't tell them to do that.
No, God didn't tell them.
No, that's what I mean. That's not the Jewish religion. Oh, sure, they did. And that's when they were busy doing idols, idol worship. They decided they were going to worship idols just so they'd be accepted by the local yokels. You know, they'd be accepted by the locals.
Okay, well,
that's
I
what
say,
we do.
I say we sacrifice Jack right now.
No, Jack's a good brother.
I got his attention, finally. Golly,
Nah, Jack's our best player. Amen. And we desire, verse 11, that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. Show diligence in your believing. That is, that you show the same diligence. That, in other words, don't let these things, remember what we talked about back in chapter 4, verse 1? Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any one of you should seem to come short of it.
Show diligence in your believing.
That's it. So, so that you're not giving up those things which have already been given to you. That's your diligence. Your diligence is to stand fast. Hold fast your profession of faith until the end. That's your diligence. Your diligence isn't to work hard. Your diligence is to believe what God has said. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. That you be not slothful. You see, then that produces. You show diligence in faith, that produces work. Do you know that?
Fruit.
It produces fruit. Diligence in the Word of God produces fruit on the outward. It just, you know, you believe God, what He said and what He promised, and you become what He said and He promised. You just become it. Because you're not believing what you're looking at. You're not believing you. You're believing God. Father, I just worship You. I just thank You, Lord God, that You're producing in me every bit of fruit that You said. Because I'm in the vine and the vine's in me. And I'm living in the vine. I'm abiding in the vine. And the vine produces fruit. Hallelujah. And so we desire also to show that same diligence of faith toward God. Faith toward God. That we be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, listen to this, followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We're going to follow them. Instead of the people who through works and striving inherit the promises, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Father.
I like that part.
Amen.
For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Well, that's pretty good. In other words, I'm promising. And I'm going to promise for sure. Let's see. Who can I promise by?
I swear to God.
Oh, that's me. saying, surely I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham obtained the promise, didn't he? Got a son.
Through faith and patience.
That's it. Faith and patience. And a few missteps.
Yeah, I think.
And a few missteps.
God's patience and promise.
So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater. You know. Now listen, this is kind of interesting. Hear what he says. For men truly swear by something greater, you know. Well, by God, you know. You know, have you ever done that? By God, you know, I swear to God. So it's like, I swear on a stack of Bibles. I swear on 100 Bibles. I swear on 1,000 Bibles, the other kid says. Well, I swear on a stack of 1,000,000 Bibles. So, you know, they're both trying to outdo one another, swearing on Bibles. You know, how many Bibles are you going to swear on? He said, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. You know what that means? You save the swearing till the end of the argument. The swear ends the argument. You know, at the end of the argument, it's, well, darn you. Wow. Everything gets quiet. You save the oath till the end. That's what it says. It says right here. For men truly swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation. In other words, that you really mean it. That's the end of the argument right there. That's what God said. He said, here's the end of the argument. I swear by myself. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show the heirs of promise the immutability, that means the unchangeability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. So He promised and He gave an oath. His promise will not change and His oath will not change. So verse 18 says, that by two unchangeable things, the promise and the oath, in which it was impossible for God to lie, in those two things, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. In other words, here's our refuge. He is our refuge. He's our hope. In other words, we have all confidence to come to Him. That He is, what He has promised, He is able to perform. Remember what He said? Remember what Abraham said? He said over in Genesis, or he says that God, or actually I think it's over in Hebrews, the way in which I'm remembering it, is over in chapter 11. Where he said that... Well, where did he say it? Well, the fact is that he believed that God, what God said, he was able to perform. What God said, you know, he had all faith, believing that God, what he had promised, he was able to perform. Amen? That's the truth. That's it. So now, same thing here for you. Is what God promised, He's able to perform. You believe what God promised, He's able to perform?
Yes,
my spirit does.
That's it. Yahoo! That's a good word. That's it. My spirit does. Is I believe that God is able to promise to finish that which He promised. Now, exactly, because I look in the mirror and I go, no way. You know, you look in the mirror and you think, you look at your car. You ever looked at a car before you put it to the body shop? And I mean, it's like, no way. That car is destroyed. It's just destroyed. And then these guys at the body shop, man, those guys are from God.
For lots of money.
Those guys are from God. I mean, it's just, it comes out, and it's just perfect. You ever seen those? You ever seen a car come out above a body shop? Oh, man, it's just like nothing ever happened. Say, just you come back. You know, that's how you look when you get back from the throne of God? For a minute or two?
I like that.
Till the next. Then you go back to the body shop and get beautified again. God's painting body. That's right. Is it God's painting body shop? So you come out, oh man, what a beauty. What a beauty. That's how God sees you. Do you know that?
Amen.
You're walking around in a wreck, but God sees you perfect. Pearl coat. Clear coat. You know? Ooh. No bird poop on you. Nothing. Just perfect. That's right. Amen. You just like those words?
God's determined to show the immutability of his counsel.
That's it. See, he says here, that by two immutable things, it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have something. A strong consolation, a strong hope, a strong confidence. A strong consoling. Consolation is to be consoled. It's a comfort. It's
Amen.
Peace.
Amen.
Amen. So we have strong hope that can never be taken away. Never be taken away. Never! You know, here comes an enemy. I'm going to take that away from you. You can't. You can't take it away from me. I can't be stolen from.
Wow.
I can't be ripped off. Because I've laid up treasure in heaven.
So good.
I've laid up treasure in heaven.
Amen.
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 Where rust doesn't corrupt and moth doesn't eat, you know. The canker worm doesn't get it.
Take it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of our what? Soul. Now there you go. See, remember you've had soul trouble? Have you had soul problems? I mean, your mind, your will, your emotions, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. This consolation, this promise of God, His promise and His oath, which are unchangeable. His promise and His oath, unchangeable, gives us a hope that fadeth not away. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that inside the veil. Now, if you'll go back and you look back over here at verses, impossible for those once enlightened, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance. You get away from that verse, which, you know, to that part, you know, which is trusting somewhere else, and you get to this part in trusting in Him.
Amen.
Get out of that trusting in something else, falling away. You're not going to fall away if you will be diligent to follow after the hope and the promise which have already been promised. See, what he's doing is taking them away from the fear of, the fear of sins that have taken place, and putting them back into this solid, complete, finished work of Christ. We have a promise. We have an oath. We have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that inside the veil. Remember the veil we talked about? That has been ripped? The Holy of Holies? And you come in? See, what he's reminding you is that the veil has been ripped and that whole sacrificial system is gone. It's invalid. It's kaput. That's why God allowed the temple to be destroyed.
Amen.
What good is it? It ain't got no veil anymore. It's kind of like a car without an engine. If a car doesn't have an engine anymore, send it to the junkyard. Right?
Right.
Why do you want to keep that thing around? It's no good. It doesn't carry you anywhere. It can't go anywhere. Get rid of it. Where's the temple? It's in me. There's no more temple but me. No more temple but you. God liveth in you. Do you know that? He liveth in you. He don't live in the church down on the corner. He don't live in this little church here or the big church down on the corner, excuse me. He don't live there. He liveth in you. Where the forerunner is for us entered. Why did he enter in there? He's the guy with the blood. He had the blood. Remember how the priest entered in with the blood? He took his own blood. He went right in there first. And then that veil was rent. Because that was a permanent blood. That blood was a permanent sacrifice. Where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. A high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. A forever high priest. Once and forever, he is a high priest. He has already shed his blood, and his blood is an eternal sacrifice. That's why he said earlier, he says, you can't crucify Jesus again, because then you'd be doing a double sacrifice. And his blood's forever already. You can't do a double sacrifice. You can't wait for another Jesus. You can't wait for another Messiah.
Thank you, Father.
You got one, that's it. He's finished. And he fulfilled all the prophetic. He finished. But we're persuaded better things of you, that you're not going to follow after that nonsense. But you're going to be diligent to believe the things which God has promised already, that the fruit of the gospel will be made, you know, evident in you. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. We believe in it. We believe in the fruit of the gospel is evident in you because you have believed Christ and you're not looking around to try to get your sins forgiven. Don't you know that you're in the kingdom of God? You're in the kingdom of God and you cannot be, no man can pluck you out. You're blessed. Hallelujah.
What are the two immutable things?
Promise, oath. Promise and the oath. The promise and the oath.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Whew, Father, we just bless you tonight. We thank you, Lord God, that your provision for us is eternal. And we thank you, Lord God, that it's the diligence of not our faith, but your faithfulness, but our diligence in believing your promise. Not to strengthen ourselves, but Lord God, to receive your encouragement, to receive your finished work daily. Because your word and your work to us each day, your promise is yes and amen. So Father, we thank you that when the enemy comes in, when the liar comes in, we say, no, we don't believe a lie, we believe the truth. We believe that the promise of Christ for sin is a finished work. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're delivering our flesh and our souls unto salvation on a daily basis because we have believed. And Father, we thank you that that belief is a result of your Holy Spirit coming to dwell on the inside of us. You have caused us to believe by faith, and we receive, Lord God, your promises. Therefore, we are forgiven. And therefore, as we are forgiven, we receive strength. And Father, we receive the commission of the Holy Ghost to perform that which you have set upon our hearts to perform, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And we worship you, and we praise you for it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.